Welcome to SMT Pod, the premier audio publication for the Society for Music Theory. In this week's episode, Brandon Scribner analyzes Laura Kaminsky's opera As One, which uses music, specifically texture and timbre, to trace the experience of Hannah's gender transition. Content warning. This episode contains discussion and references to gender dysphoria, transphobia, sexual assault, and bullying. Listener discretion is advised.
They swear I'm like this crazy danger to society. I'm just a normal kid, going to school, playing sports. Trans people are under attack. The above quote is from A.B. Hernandez, a transgender high school athlete. On May 28, 2025, the U.S. Department of Justice announced an investigation into her participation in California state sports competitions, threatening to withhold funding over the incident. No matter your stance on trans women in sports, it's no question that in the United States, trans people face discrimination. Attacks on trans femme athletes, anti-trans public bathroom legislation, and bans on trans people in the military are just a few of the issues that trans people experience. Not to mention the negative representation and/or complete absence of trans people in media, which may seem like a small issue in comparison, but is still a prominent issue. As One is a modern chamber opera for two voices and string quartet by composer Laura Kaminsky and librettists Mark Campbell and Kimberly Reed. The opera follows the experiences of Hannah grappling with her identity and experiences as a transgender woman. Over the course of the opera, Hannah recounts some of her experiences growing up assigned male, conflicting with the gender norms assigned to her. She eventually transitions and begins to face different issues, including sexual assault. After isolating herself in Norway, Hannah learns to accept herself as a transgender woman, leaving her past behind but not forgotten, as it has made her who she is and is a part of her. Hannah is portrayed pre-transition by a baritone called Hannah Before, and post-transition by a mezzo-soprano called Hannah After. This podcast adds to the small but growing literature on the intersection of queer studies and opera. I build upon the work of Shana Golden Pirschbacher, who discusses the parallels between country music and queer experiences in her 2022 book, Queer Country. Like how Golden Pirschbacher argues that country music reflects queer experiences, I argue that the music of As One reflects a trans experience. Kaminsky uses timbre, texture, and instrumentation to tell a trans narrative, specifically manipulating interactions between the two vocal lines of Hannah Before and Hannah After through register and vocal timbre to represent Hannah's slow acceptance of herself as a trans woman. The opera is broken down into three parts. Part 1 is Hannah's grade school years, where she notices her differences but doesn't fully understand them and suffers through a heavily gendered upbringing and schooling. Part 2 are Hannah's college years, where she's transitioning and living life as a woman, now dealing with the struggles of transition and being a woman. Part 3 is Hannah's escape to Norway, where she spends some time alone and discovers herself. The first half of the opera features more singing from Hannah Before. Gradually, Hannah Before loses the spotlight as Hannah After takes over, singing the entire third part alone except for the very end. I argue this dynamic is symbolic of Hannah's inner conflict of identity. Hannah is unaware of her queer identity early on in the opera, and thus she tries to be a traditional boy to compensate for her femme feelings. As the opera progresses, Hannah gradually transitions to only aligning with her post-transition self and suppressing her past. Upon self-reflection in Norway, Hannah begins to fully accept both her pre- and post-transition selves. Hannah Before returns at the finale when she has fully accepted herself, leaving behind her past not with contempt or suppression, but acceptance. The first scene we will be analyzing has Hannah grappling with gender dysphoria in her high school sex ed class. In this scene, Hannah Before plays the role of the sex ed teacher, while Hannah After plays the role of herself. The boys and girls have been separated, And Hannah before begins lecturing the boys on gender, sexuality, and puberty, while Hannah after sits uncomfortably in silence. The one time Hannah after does try to speak up, she is quickly interrupted by her teacher. Hannah before dominates this scene, speaking of maleness, things such as testosterone, voice deepening, and facial hair, and speaking in very black and white, gender dichotomous terms, saying things such as there's only two genders in the animal kingdom, male and female. Note, the texture that accompanies Hannah before, as well as the low register she sings in.
In the animal kingdom, there are only two genders, male and female. These two genders have very distinct differences, and these become most apparent during puberty.
And so on through
testosterone, voice deepening, acne, facial masturbation.
After being sung at about gender binaries, Hannah after concludes the scene singing, "But this boy only wants to be in the other room," on the pitches D, E, F sharp, scale degrees 1, 2, and 3 in D major. She ends with a strongly implied 3-2-1 authentic cadence in a high register sung without accompaniment, in contrast to Hannah before's unrelenting lecture on gender binaries, which was sung in a low register with very active accompaniment. Yes, Mark Campbell and Kimberly Reed use the libretto to explicitly address gender binaries and list masculine traits. But Kaminsky also paints the music to represent this binary, assigning Hannah before a more masculine part with active accompaniment and low vocal register, and assigning Hannah after a more feminine part with a simple unaccompanied three-note melody in a higher register. Hannah after's part represents Hannah's true feelings, which are in conflict with the gender norms and sex ed class that she just experienced.
But this boy only wants to be in the
Our next and final scene we will be discussing is also the final act, the one that is predominantly sung by Hannah after. After experiencing gender-related issues, both pre-transition, such as dysphoria and gender stereotyping, and post-transition, such as sexual assault and fear of rejection after coming out, Hannah retreats to Norway. She lives isolated in the woods for a prolonged period, and thus she is forced to spend time with herself, leading to incredible self-growth, healing, and discovery. After some soul-searching, Hannah realizes that male or female, dysphoria or not, she's simply herself. Listen to the moment she realizes this, where Hannah after sings that her handwriting is not like a girl's or like a boy's, it is mine. Notice how Hannah before joins her on "it is mine." Perhaps the handwriting is not just Hannah before's or Hannah after's, but both's. Perhaps the handwriting is not just mine, but it's ours.
My writing is not like a boy's or like a girl's. It is mine.
From this point on, the two sing together, representative of Hannah accepting both parts of herself. The two continue their duet, and the opera concludes with Kaminsky's ultimate symbolism of Hannah's self-acceptance, the only time in the opera where the characters sing in unison, a true unison at that. Both Hannahs sing as one, multiple times in harmony before the final iteration. Hannah before joins Hannah after on the notes F-sharp 4, E4, F-sharp 4. Hannah before then drops back down to the A3 that she was singing in the previous iterations. As the clip plays, notice how Hannah before moves up to join Hannah after in the fourth octave, and not vice versa. She has accepted that she is a transgender woman. Hannah before has moved up to join her true fullest self, similar to how Hannah before made the steps to transition to Hannah after. Hannah before then returns to the A3 she was singing in the previous subphrases as Hannah after leaves, symbolizing her leaving her assigned gender behind once and for all. However, this does not mean that she completely rejects Hannah before. Hannah realizes that her experiences pre-transition are still a part of her and have shaped who she is today. Hannah is Hannah, pre and post-transition. Hannah has fully accepted herself. Hannah after leaves Hannah before behind, but takes part of herself with her. Her past experiences make her who she is. Hannah before joining Hannah after in the E4 F-sharp 4 unison symbolizes Hannah's growth and transition to her femme self. The drop back to the A3 by Hannah before is the final leaving behind of her pre-transition past with acceptance as opposed to rejection. This final unison symbolizes Hannah's total acceptance of herself. It is all of her experiences pre and post transition that make her, her. Through exploring trans and queer experience in Kaminsky's As One, I invite us to consider how such perspectives could further open up our understanding of music across diverse genres and styles, from country music to opera and beyond. Kaminsky plays with the voices of Hannah before and Hannah after, utilizing them as foils to further shell Hannah's complex character and in turn the intricacies of a queer experience. Through timbre, texture, and instrumentation, Kaminsky is able to depict Hannah's journey and slow acceptance of herself as a trans woman. She leaves Noray, and in turn the opera as one. Thanks for listening. I'd like to give a huge thanks to my professor, Rachel Lumsden, my colleagues and classmates, Aaron DiZarilla, Luis Matos Tovar, Isabel Milbourne, Jillian Radcliffe, and Zachary Simmons, my reviewers, Vivian Long and Joseph Strouts, and the team at SMT Pod, including Zach Lloyd, Megan Lyons, and Anna Rose Nelson, for their feedback and support. This wouldn't have been possible without all of their advice, feedback, support. I'm very grateful to all of you, so thank you again so much for this.
Visit our website, smt-pod.org, for supplementary materials related to this episode and to learn how to submit an episode proposal. Join in the conversation by tweeting us your questions and comments at smt_pod. SMT Pod's theme music was written by Maria Tartaglia, with closing music by Ika Jung. Thanks for listening.